You know, I delivered a message a few weeks ago, and it had something to do with our heart, about loving, setting our love on Jesus, and all our heart, and all our mind, and all our soul, and all our strength. And in our Bible study on Wednesday night, we talked about the heart again, and it seemed like the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about the heart. I went back and listened to our teaching we had at Caris when I think it was the second or third year, when Jacqueline Band came and taught us about the heart. And it's this, the thing about the heart has been the Holy Spirit just been dealing with me about it and talking with me about it. And I've been kind of laying down with it, waking up with it, you know, one of those things. And so I finally realized, okay, I'm supposed to take some time to teach on the heart. And so it's going to be more than one part to this sermon, but I want to go from this subject, understanding our heart. Understanding our heart. And today might be just mostly an introduction, and we'll really get down to the end of it, and it'll be for next time. But I'm not talking about our physical heart. We have a physical heart. We all have a physical heart. And that physical heart pumps blood through our circulatory system. And that takes blood to every part of our body. So our physical heart has a job. But we also have a spiritual heart, a heart that you can't see, you can't touch, you know, with your hand or anything like that. And I want to go from this way and think about this. Adam and Eve didn't have Jesus in a body like theirs in the garden, but they had a tree called life. Think about that. Adam and Eve didn't have Jesus in the garden with them in a body, but they had a tree called life. They could have freely eaten from that tree of life if they had chosen to do so. They had a choice, but they chose the wrong tree. They chose the wrong tree. We won't go into that. They chose death instead of life. Did you know that your problems come from the areas of your heart that needs the life of God? Mm-hmm. Our heart needs the life of God. And every problem comes from the area in our heart where the life of God has been cut off. Every person that's not born again, they cut off totally from the life of God because they have not been born again. Yet. But even born again spirit filled believers, we have errors in our heart that are cut off from the life of God. And our heart needs the life of God. It needs the life of God. So, where is the life of God in a believer? If you've been to Caris, like some of us have, you have had spirit, soul, and body. So, you probably you know what I'm going to right now. And if you've been in my class, when I taught spirit, soul, and body in my house, you had spirit, soul, and body. I think Kate, you had spirit, soul, and body, didn't you? But I taught it to you. Okay. So, but some of you haven't had spirit, soul, and body, but I would admonish you to get Andrews Womack's book on spirit, soul, and body. So who are we? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Sorry, Zoom people, I didn't get Christina the scriptures ahead of time today because I didn't get everything ahead of time myself. So if I don't get it ahead of time, I can't give it to you ahead of time. So. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It reads this: Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. Sanctify. Sanctify means to set you apart for God's use. Sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every person has three parts that make up the whole person. Every one of us, every person that's ever born, Adam and Eve, everyone that God created has three parts to them. They have spirit, they have soul, they have body. We are spirit beings, we possess a soul, and we live in a body. A lot of times we think we just body because that's what we see. But really, we are spirit beings. We are spirit beings. We have a soul and we live in a body. The scripture often tells us in several passages, you know, what gain has a man if he loses his soul? How can you lose your soul? You can lose your soul by trading it over to something else, to the world, to the enemy. And now you're not in control of your soul, but something else is controlling your soul. Our body is the part that our spirit and soul lives in. So we're spirit beings, we possess a soul, and we live in this body, what we see. We use our bodies to navigate and do things in this natural physical environment in which we live. We need a body. If I didn't have a body, you couldn't see me. If I was just spirit and soul, you would know, you wouldn't even know I was in the room. If you were just spirit and soul, I would know you were in the room. But we contact each other, know or see each other because we see our bodies. We see our bodies. So we use our bodies to navigate and do things in this natural physical environment in which we live. But what about our soul? Our soul consists of our will, the part that decides, helps us make choices. Our mind is the part that thinks, processes information, and then imagine. Our imagination is in our mind. Then we have our emotions. And our emotions is what we feel with. We can feel spiritual things when our emotions are touched in our soul. The soul is the part that gives us personality. A person's soul is what gives them personality. It's our soul that helps us make connection with this world we live in. Our soul helps us connect relational with each other. It helps us what? Have relationships. Because of our soul and our character, and how our soul is made up, we don't navigate to everybody. You navigate to certain people to have relationships with you. You don't have a relationship with everybody. But it's because of your soul makeup that you're able to have a relationship. So what about our spirit? I'm going to talk mostly about our spirit. Our spirit gives us connection with God. John 4:24 says this. John 4:24 says this. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Remember, it takes both to worship God, our spirit and truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, as he was praying to the Father, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we need the spirit of God. We need our spirit to worship God. And we also need the truth, the word of God. We need to know the truth in order to be able to worship God. We need the word of God in order to get born again so we can worship God in spirit and truth. Then Paul says something very interesting in Romans 1:9. But I had not seen before until Holy Spirit quickened this to me. Now look at some verses. Romans 1:9. Paul said this. Paul said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. Now, without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. We serve God with our spirit, not with our soul and not with our body, even though they participate. We serve God with our spirit. Our body participate, our soul participate, but we serve God what? With our spirit. Everything should come from our spirit, man. Remember I said we're spirit, soul, and body. So you have a spirit. If you're born again, your spirit's alive again. But we serve God with our spirit and our soul and our body participate. If your soul and body is leading you, then something's wrong because your spirit is supposed to be leading. That's why the Bible talks about carnality. When we do things out of the flesh and not the spirit, we're carnal minded. We're living carnally. That means we're living from our flesh and not from the spirit. Things don't work out when we flow from the flesh and not from the spirit. Mm-hmm. I'm not boring y'all. It's a lot of information. I'm trying to work up to give you this information to get you down what you feel. Because everybody don't know it. So reserve thou with thy spirit, not with thy soul or body, even though our soul and body participates. Our spirit consists of the spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9. In our spirit man, remember spirit, soul, and body. So think about spirit. Think about yourself as being spirit. Romans 8:9 says this, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So, we that are born again, we have the spirit of Christ in us. And because Christ is in us, then God dwells in us. Let's look at some of the things our spirit man has. You're born again, you got a spirit, so what's in that spirit? What's in that spirit? Because we have the spirit of Christ, we have his faith. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures, I'm going to tell you where they are. Galatians 2:20. Because we have the spirit of Christ, we have his faith. And I might read some of them, but I'm not going to read all of them. Just write it down. Galatians 2:20. Paul said in that scripture, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have faith. Every believer has faith. Another scripture said God has dealt to us what? The measure of faith. So you got faith. Where is that faith? That faith is in your spirit. You got faith. We have been given the spirit of God so we might know what has been freely given to us. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have been given the spirit of God. So remember, Romans 8:9 let us know what? The spirit of God dwells in us. Because anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So the spirit of God dwells in us. So, but we have been given the spirit of God in our spirit so that we might know the things that are freely been given to us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:12. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit we have is not of the world, but the spirit which is of God. We have the spirit that's of God. Why do we have the spirit of God in our spirits? That we might know the things that are freely given to us. God wants us to know. He wants us to know. We've been given the spirit of God in us so we might know the things that God has freely given to us. Our spirits have been made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you are born again, you are righteous. You are not trying to get righteous. Your spirit is already righteous. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So our sins were placed on Jesus. He didn't know no sin, but our sins were placed on him. All your sins were placed on him. All sins you ever have committed, ever will commit, the whole wide world. The scripture says God's not imputing sin to the world. He's not counting up against them because all sin was placed on Christ. So our sin was placed on Christ that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him. Amen. Your spirit man has been made righteous. Your spirit man has been made righteous. You might say, well, I don't feel righteous. I ain't even been acting like righteous I'm supposed to be. I haven't been thinking altogether righteous. If you're born again, you are still righteous. We're going to get to that part where why you ain't been thinking it, why you ain't been doing it. We're going to get to that part. But in your spirit, man, you are righteous. In our spirit, we have what? Love and joy and peace and faithfulness and goodness and meekness, self-control, gentleness, long-suffering. That's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You're saying I got self-control? Well, when that guy cut me off at the stoplight, I did not have no control. Well, you got self-control. You got to use it, but you got it. Mm-hmm. You might have used self-control, but you got it. Well, you know, it's so hard for me to love my boss. He keep, you know, he just don't treat me right. This and that and the other. But you do have love for your boss in your spirit. I ain't got no peace today. Well, you got peace in your spirit. Galatians 5:22-23, you have the fruit of the spirit. And it's not fruits, it's fruit. That one fruit has all these things in it. And I believe that we have creativity because our Father creates. Mm-hmm. You see people create all this art and they come up with all this stuff. That's because our Father creates. So I believe we have creativity. So we went over what your body is, what your soul is, what your spirit is. So now we're going to get into the part of understanding our hearts. The Bible talks about the inner man, and it talks about the inward man. What's our inner man? What's our inward man? Let's look at Ephesians 3:16-17. 3:16-17. This is the prayer that Paul was praying. So we're not going to do all the prayer, we're just going to do two verses. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened through his spirit in the inner man. Where did I say Christ's spirit dwells? In our spirit? So this inner man is talking about our spirit. In our spirit, where Christ is, we are strengthened. Our spirit man has strength. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. So, through faith. On our next lesson, we're going to go a lot about the scriptures that deal with soul and deal with the spirit. That Christ may dwell in our hearts, in your hearts, or souls through faith. Okay, how do Christ dwell in our soul? Through faith. He's in our spirit, man, because we're born again. That you be rooted and grounded in love. Go back and read that whole prayer. It's really good. But I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read for what part I want to bring out today. Let's look at Romans 7:22. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Paul was talking about his spirit. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. According to my spirit, I delight in the law of God. My spirit man loves the word of God. My spirit man delights in the law of God. What Paul was saying. Let's look at Jeremiah 31:33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, their spirit, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's what Paul, I think, was thinking about when he said what he said in Romans 7:22. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. It's a lot of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not get to the place where we don't lose heart. I mean, we don't get to the place where we stop believing. Even though our outward man, our body, is perishing, yet the inward man, the soul, is being renewed day by day. How do I know it's talking about the soul? The inward man is being renewed day by day because our spiritual man is not renewed. It's our soul that's renewed. Let's look at Ephesians 4:22-24. Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, talking about the soul, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, talking about the soul, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Where did we say the mind was? In the soul. And that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. So this is talking about, okay, Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the minds and the soul. So let that soul be renewed and put on the new man. For the new man on where? In your soul. He's in your spirit, but put him on in your soul. Because the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. So now let's talk about the heart. You can't really understand the heart if you don't understand spirit, soul, and body. You can't understand the heart if you don't understand soul and spirit. The Bible talks a lot about the heart. A lot about the heart. You know, love God with your whole heart. Serve God with your whole heart. Do things with your whole heart. All of your heart. Sometimes the Bible mentions the heart, it is talking about the spirit, and sometimes it's talking about the soul. So what is the heart? The heart is a combination of your soul and your spirit.
Amen.
Your soul and your spirit put together. Someone to do.
Okay.
Your soul and your spirit together.
It's not all.
Is your heart. So your heart consists of the soul and the spirit. What do we say about the soul and the spirit? The spirit is perfect. It don't need anything else done to it once you get born again. But that soul is not. So one part of our heart is A-okay. It's got everything we need. It can do anything God said it can do. But the other thing is, there's that soul. You got two things there. One's okay, one's not okay all the time. Matter of fact, one's got some stuff that needs to go. Well, the car is the combination of the soul and spirit. Our spirit is where the life of God originates in us. So where is the life of God? The life of God is in our spirit. Life comes from the spirit, but the soul's job is to be the release valve for our spirit. You learn about the spirit, soul, and body. You might have life in your spirit, which is part of your heart, but that life can't get out unless it comes from your soul. I got this weird picture now. I'm going to tell y'all this weird picture coming in my mind right now. It's like here's your spirit. The life of God is a part of your body. But then it keeps up this brick wall, the soul. That's got something that's keeping the life of God from going through to where it's supposed to go. Because the soul is blocking the life of God that's coming. Wants to come through the spirit. Your soul is blocking the life of God. Wants to come through your spirit to give you what you need. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need deliverance. And if you're born again, all of that is in you, in your spirit man. But if your soul blocks it, if your soul don't allow that life of God to come, then you won't get delivered. And you won't know, maybe say, why am I not delivered? Why am I speaking the word of God? I'm confessing the word of God, but why is I'm not getting what I'm believing and think I'm believing and confessing? Why is it not coming? Because something is blocking the life of God that needs to touch that area of your life. It's amazing how the word of God works.
Mm-hmm.
Because that life of God is in you. It wants to touch that area. There's revelation in that line. So the life comes from the spirit, but the soul's job is to release the valve of our spirit so the life of God can flow through. If something is off in our soul, it will shut out what our spirit wants to release in us and others. The Bible teaches many things about the heart. Let's look at Proverbs 4:23. A lot of people have deliverance ministries, and all deliverance ministry is heart healing ministry. Mm-hmm. It's a technique that they use to get your heart healed. But there's only one heart healer, that's Jesus. He heals the broken hearts. He's a healer. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I think the King James Version says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The life of God comes from the spirit part of our heart. The life of God comes from the spirit part of our heart. Jesus released life and life more abundantly every place he showed up. John 10:10. Everywhere Jesus showed up, he released life. And he released it more abundantly. Every place he showed up. Why? Because there was nothing wrong with his spirit and nothing wrong with his soul. Everything could flow. And it did. The life of God flowed from Jesus to others everywhere he went. When he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, that was the life of God flowing from him to somebody else. When he taught the word of God, it was the life of God flowing from him in his teaching to those that heard it. Our hearts are like factories. Our hearts are like factories, giving out the life of God where it's needed. Life of God, life of God. You're speaking to somebody, speaking the life of God into somebody's heart. You're speaking healing to somebody, so you're giving them life, the life of God. That's how God wants it to be. That's how it should be. Giving out the life of God everywhere we go. You see somebody have need, you give them the life of God. You give them the word of God. You give them something that God wants you to give them. You're saying what God wants you to say. And in those words, the life of God is coming out to that person. You speak life to yourself. And the life of God comes. Every place Jesus showed up, every place we show up, with Jesus inside us, and he's in our spirit, man, we release life and life more abundantly. That's what God wants us to be doing as a Christian church. He wants us to be releasing that life of God in us abundantly and more abundantly to everybody that needs it, everywhere we go. Everywhere you look, somebody needs the life of God in their life. Because what? When someone is dead, if you speak life, the life comes and the dead goes and life takes its place. The life of God raises dead things. The life of God changes dead things to things of life.
Yes.
Let's look at Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Whatever's in our heart comes out through our soul and body. Whatever's in your heart comes out through your soul and body. Whether it's the life of God in your spirit or something in your soul that should not ought to be there, it'll come out. It'll come out of what you say. It'll come out of your body. Sometimes sickness is because of something that's in our heart. Life is the power, life is in the power of our tongue. That's Proverbs 18:21. Mm-hmm. Life is in the power of our tongue. We know death's in there too, but we're going to talk about life, and we want to speak life. Life is in the power of our tongue. Our words carry spirit and life. Our words carry spirit and carry life. That's why we got to be careful about what we say. But I don't care how careful you are about what you say. If your heart is not where it's supposed to be, something's going to come out, ain't supposed to come out. Well, it's going to come out because it's there. But we want the life of God to come out, don't we? So we want to get our hearts healed. We want to allow Jesus to heal our hearts. We want him to cleanse our hearts. So that when our hearts speak, whatever comes from our heart, it comes out of our mouth, it's what? Coming from our spirit. It's bringing life and not death. Let's look at John 6:63. The Gospel of John 6:63. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Guess what? When Jesus is speaking through us, we're getting our information from the spirit man, then what we say is spirit and life. Because Christ is in us. Just like we speak death, we can speak life. Our heart is the most precious thing we have because it's our true us. And we don't pay enough attention to our hearts. But our hearts is the most precious thing we have. It's the most precious thing you have, your heart. The word of God is the only way to distinguish soul from the spirit. And we need to know what spirit and what soul. Because what spirit is what we want to keep and we want to grow in and let and release it. But that's the soul, and the spirit of life is not with it. We want to get that spirit of life to change that part of our soul that's not from God. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The spirit and soul are meant to work together because they are the heart of us. Our spirit and our soul was always meant to work together. Because that's our heart. Our heart is our spirit and soul. The spirit is born again and perfect. So if there's a problem, it's our soul. If there's a problem, it's in our soul, not in our spirit. I'm getting ready to end for today. Let's look at Matthew 5:8. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Next time, we're going to talk about all different kinds of heart, pure heart. Being, you know, can doubt in our heart and different things. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not all of our heart is pure. The spirit part of our heart is pure. But not everything in our soul is pure. We are told to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Did you know that when your mind is really renewed in certain areas, your soul, heart, that's what I call it, the soul part of your heart, the soul part of your heart, that's the soul heart, is being purified. Once it is purified, your spirit can be released in that area. And I want to close there with that today. We're going to talk about that more next time I talk about this. But we need to pay attention to our hearts. We need to pay attention to our heart. We're going to find out later that your heart thinks, your heart doubts, your heart does a lot of things. The scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our life is driven and turned by what's in our heart. Whatever's in you can't go further than what's in your heart to go. Your heart can either propel you into your destiny, or your heart can stop you. Your heart can allow you to flourish in the things of God, and your heart can keep you from doing that. But we want our hearts to be released to do what God has called us to do. We want our soul and our spirit working together. So that whatever's in our spirit, man, can be released through our heart. If we need healing, then healing's in our spirit, man. We have healing on the inside of us. But we want that healing to be released from our spirit, man, into our soul, into our bodies, so we can be healed. And that's the life of God. That's the life of God. That's the life of God in us. And God wants that life to flow through us and out of us. Not only for our own well-being, but for the whole, anybody we minister to and touch. God wants that life to flow out of us. Let's stand. Short word today, we're getting out early. That'll give y'all a long message next week. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for